words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, we ask you to speak to each of us then, here in the quietness of the heart. Amen. It's hard to believe that there was once a day where when we received a phone call from somebody, we did not know the name or the number that was calling us. There was a time before caller ID and before we were able to have these cell phone devices where we immediately, before we ever answer the call, we see a number or a name pop up. And so we always have some sort of idea now of who it is that is calling us. But there was a time where we had to do one of two things when we answered the phone. We either had to wait for the person to tell us who he or she was on the other end of the line, or we had to ask the question, who is this? I remember having a family member, an extended family member, that would call our house when I was growing up, and she was one of these who just assumed that you knew that she was the one calling you. She assumed that you had like a caller ID built into your brain, and she called sometimes, but not really regularly. So when she did call, she would just start telling us something. She would just immediately start into a story. And whenever she finally took a breath, we had to stop and say, who is this? And she would say, well, it's me. Didn't you know it was me? Didn't you recognize my voice? And when we come to today's passage, we hear a question being asked of Jesus that is a question that really defines who we are as the people of God. In the Matthew passage that Collins read for us so wonderfully this morning, in verse 10, he has entered Jerusalem and the city is in turmoil. The city is in turmoil. And people are asking, who is this? Who is this man riding on a donkey into town? Who is this man who's been known to raise the dead? Who is this man who has opened the eyes of a blind man? Who is this man who is supposedly the son of David? That is a question that has been asked of Jesus for centuries. And it's a question that was asked about him, not just in the last week of his life, but throughout his whole life. This is the day that we commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. We celebrate it with our children bringing palm branches forward, and we declare him as the son of David, and we say, Hosanna, which means come and save us, Lord. We have taken great joy. We take great joy in Palm Sunday in the knowing that he is with us and he has come to set us free. But we also come to Palm Sunday knowing it is the start of the Passion, that it's the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly life. We come today in the midst, as verse 10 tells us, with our whole world in turmoil. And the question echoes throughout the ages, who is this? Well, there's a lot of ways we can answer that question, friends. There are a lot of ways we can say who this man is, and especially as we look at this last week of his life. But to understand the last week of Jesus' life, we have to look back at the first week of his life also. And when we do, we see these similarities coming together. And we see that in the midst of this man's life, this man who was also God, that there was a great plan in place for the redemption of the world. Today we recall a bumpy ride into Jerusalem. But let us not forget that 33 years before, Jesus rode on that bumpy road into Jerusalem, over the cloaks and over the palm branches and having to move very slowly because of the crowds. Long before there was that crowded ride, there was a very lonely ride that took place from Nazareth to Bethlehem as a very pregnant and expectant Mary journeyed carrying her son. In the passage from Matthew, earlier on in verse 2, actually, Jesus is giving instructions about the donkey that the disciples are to go find for him. And he says in here, and this is easy for us to miss, he says, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. So often when we see the paintings that are done of Palm Sunday, of Jesus' procession into Jerusalem. When we see those, we see Jesus riding one donkey. But Matthew tells us that there are two. Not only does he tell us that there are two, but we find out that it is a mother and her child. A mother and her child carrying the Son of God into Jerusalem, just like a mother carried the Son of God into a stable in Bethlehem 33 years earlier. It's easy for us at this time of year to use the phrase that is very true phrase, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Yes, amen. Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. But friends, that is only one half of the story. Jesus not only died for our sins, before he died on the cross, he lived through our sufferings with us. He walked the bumpy roads. He chose the bumpy roads of life, not only to save us, but so that we could go through these hardships and these struggles and these sufferings, knowing that we are not alone. Jesus came and not only died for us, but he lived for us too. The living and the dying are both, and the suffering are all part of that same journey. And as the body of Christ, he has set an example for us of how we are to walk with one another through life's sufferings, through life's heartaches, through the difficulties that we face. And when we do that, we find that we build up a compassion and a love and an empathy for people that Jesus also experienced for us as he walked this road with us. David Leite is an author and a well-known chef who specializes in Portuguese cuisine. And he's written a number of cookbooks, and he recently wrote a memoir. He was interviewed on public radio recently about all of his accomplishments and his story and how he came to be such a well-renowned chef. But in the course of that interview, David Leite made a very surprising admission, or what would be to some of us very surprising. He said that out of all the things he's accomplished in life, the thing that is most important to him to share with people is that he suffers from manic depression. And Gail Saltz, the psychiatrist who was interviewing him, said, "Why is it so important for you to talk about living with manic depression?" And his answer was this: "What manic depression has done for me is that I've become much more compassionate. I have more compassion and more empathy toward people because of what I've been through." Friends, when we go through the sufferings and the hardships of life, and when we find ourselves just on that bumpy road, feeling like we're living in the potholes more so than on the cement, on the smooth cement surface, we must remember the fact that it is through these hardships, it is through these struggles, that God is still working for our good. And not only is God working for our good, but God is forming us and making us so that we can be the compassionate and empathetic ones working with each other. For example, anyone who has lost a loved one tragically, when they hear of another tragic loss, they know how to identify with and walk with someone on that lonely road. Anyone who's ever been affected by someone else's addiction, when they meet someone who is going through addiction, they know that suffering. They know how to move in to that place. Those of us who have a loved one who is facing a cancer diagnosis, those of us who have walked with people through chemotherapy and through the recovery process and through all of the remission and all of the parts of treatment, we know how to identify with each other and how to support each other. And it is in that place of great support that we remember that Jesus has already walked all of those roads before us. He has suffered with us, and he has suffered for us, but he also suffers with us when we go through those hard times. And the good news is, oh friends, the good news is that yes, we are entering into the week where we lament and we mourn the death of our Savior. But we also enter into this week with the hope and the knowing that resurrection is coming, that death is not the end of the story, but rather the raising is what is to come. In the passage that Austin read beautifully for us from Philippians, we hear Paul describing from a jail, many years after Jesus has come into Jerusalem, we hear Paul writing this letter from a jail to the church in Philippi, and he tells us who Jesus is. He emptied himself in verse 7, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We are reminded here, friends, and Paul reminds us from this place of great bondage and imprisonment, that no matter how bound we may feel by the world's turmoil, that Jesus has taken the bumpy ride from heaven into the earth, into the world, being born of a woman, and he has come into this world and has walked this earth and has gone through everything that he's gone through so that we would not have to walk alone. And not only that, he chose even death on a cross. He chose not only to die for us, but he chose the worst kind of suffering and death so that he could be with us on these bumpy rides and identify with us along the way. When we hear the question, who is this? Who is this mysterious man coming into Jerusalem? Who is this mysterious man that Paul is taking heart in from a prison cell? Who is this man? Well, the answer in Matthew at the very end of the passage is, this is the prophet, Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the prophet. But then all those years later, as Paul is writing in verse 10, we hear that God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. And in verse 11, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He becomes more than just a prophet. He's more than just a teacher. He's more than just the guy riding the donkey on that bumpy road into Jerusalem. He is also the Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and God has highly exalted him. So when we ask the question, who is this? Who is this man? There are many ways we'll answer that over our walk of faith. Many ways we will answer that as we journey together. Jesus does not change, but our relationship to him changes as we grow and as we learn and as we seek to follow after him. And as we embark on this holiest of weeks, as we choose to walk this bumpy road with him, let us remember that his love for us went way back before Calvary. It extended far before Golgotha. Indeed, the love that sent Jesus to the cross began in the cradle in Bethlehem, where his mother gave birth to him. And it is in this holiest of weeks that we remember that he walks with us and cares for us. About 10 years ago, a wonderful director and writer named John Carney made a movie called Once. And Once was filmed in Ireland and was later made into a Broadway musical. And the story is very simple. It's about a guy who plays the guitar on the streets of Dublin. And one day he meets a girl who plays the piano. And they decide to make a CD together. They want to make an album together. And they start rehearsing together, and they get to know each other. And we get to know them in the film through their music. And we find out that the guy, he doesn't have a name, has recently gone through a great loss. He has just gone through a difficult end of a relationship, and he's not really sure where he's going. He's kind of floating through life. And in one very powerful scene in the film, he's sitting in his little room at home, and he's got his guitar, and he just starts strumming it, and he starts singing, "You have broken me all the way down, down upon my knees. You have broken me all the way down, down upon my knees." Friends, this is the week that we remember that Jesus was broken down, that God was broken all the way down upon his knees so that we could fall to our knees in repentance and in that place be raised up with him to the heavenly places. Who is this man? Who is this? This is Jesus Christ, the Lord. This is the man who was broken all the way down so that we could be built up into the body of Christ. May it be so, and may we live as that body as we go forth to show compassion and empathy and walk with our Lord, not just in his last week, but in his first week as well, the first week of resurrection that awaits us. To the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.